You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. We pray that today's message encourages you in your faith journey.
Good morning, church. Thank you, Pat. It is so great. I just love Sunday morning is just such a highlight of my week, getting together with all of you and our many, many kids. I think there were about 140-odd kids down in kids' ministry last week in church as well, just being blessed by our kids' leaders who do such a wonderful job for us under Pastor Pete, Narelle, and Liam down there. Today is a great day, and we're going to be a celebration today as well. But first of all, I want to just say hi to everyone who's joining us online for church. We are so thankful that you have decided to join us today, whether live or you're watching this later on. Can we just welcome everyone who's joining us online as well? Great to have you with us. Absolutely. You know, last Saturday, on the 9th of November, Life Ministry Centre turned 66 years old. 66. And we are going to hear a little bit of that story today from some people within the congregation here who come to our church still, who were around back in those years, which I'm really excited about. But firstly, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts. And we're going to read from Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 42. And where we're at right here in the book of Acts is the really the origins of the church, the initial formation of the church post-Christ and the spread of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In many ways, this is an origin story, that origin of the church. And so from verse 42, I've got it on the screens if you don't have it in front of you. It says this, "And they, the people, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." I think about that, and as I read that, I think what exciting times that would have been to live in, to see what was happening in that space. But hey, we live in exciting times now. The gift of the Holy Spirit to us, working in us and working through us in the lives of our community. But what's clear out of this passage to me is that church, although this is the origin story of the church, there's no building to be found here. Church is not a building. There was no service necessarily that they said, this is church. Church is not a service. Church, and the focus of this portion here, is about community. Church is community. Church is a family. And the focus of this passage is that forming of a community of believers, just like we are a part of here right now. I want you to stop and think and maybe have a look around, swivel your head around to look at some of the different people in the room right now. There are so many people here today or watching online than in any other context. Like, no offense to anyone, but you might not hang out with them, right? Like, we've got some friends and we've got some family, we've got some people that we hang out with, but probably it's not going to be everyone here. The reason that we come and the reason that we enjoy and the reason that we partake in church community and church family is because we come in unity under the one name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. He is the reason that we come and that we sit across the aisle from someone who we may not agree on everything with, and we go, hey, we are able to link arms here and we would be on mission together for Jesus Christ. It's because of him, because we come in that unity. See, the church is not our idea. It's not man's idea. The church is indeed God's idea. We were created for relationship. We were created to be around each other. Turn to Romans chapter 12 for me, and we're going to read from verse 4 through to verse 8. Romans 12, verse 4. It says, "Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is the same with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and read it in yellow with me, and we all belong to each other. We all belong to each other. And in a world that we know is so often dividing, this needs to be remembered by each one of us, especially as we gather together as believers. In the olden days, when I was a little boy, everyone used to call themselves brother and sister, right? That still happens a little bit, but within church, I was going to say Sister Cass, but that's not the right way to do it. No, Sister M and Sister Nikki and Sister Steph, and you would call me Brother Andrew or something like that, Brother Andy. And we would do that. Why? Because we were all pointing towards the fact that we are part of a church family. We are the body of Christ joined together. In verse 6, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, then be encouraging. If it is giving, then give generously. And if God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, then do it gladly. We all have, every single one of us in this room, a part to play. And God has indeed given every one of us gifts so that the body can work together, so that we are needed and wanted by each other, so that we are to be a blessing to each other. So coming back to the book of Acts, that origin story, one notable part about that passage that always stuck out to me was that point about the selling of the possessions and the selling of all their belongings and the pooling of those resources and making sure no one had need. Now, it's important for us to understand, like as we read that within our context today, like it's not prescriptive for us. This is not something that we are required now to do within church. However, it reveals to us the heart behind the believers that we just weren't going to leave anyone with a need, because we are now a body fitly joined together. We are now a fellowship of believers. We are underneath Jesus Christ, and we will make sure that everyone is taken care of. That still applies to us today. It's a glimpse of the radical heart change that happened in the early believers. See, the generosity and the love of the Christian is one of the primary ways where God's promise that all your needs will be met is fulfilled, is within the church family. We know that God promises in His word all your needs will be supplied, and He can do that miraculously, 100%. But He also has decided to use us to be that blessing to other people as well. Paul, what we really see here is these two words that I want you to remember today: sacrifice and obedience. It was the sacrifice and the obedience of one that led to the blessing and the needs being supplied for the other. And Paul quotes Jesus in Acts 20 when he says this: it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. More blessed to give than to receive, Jesus' words. So as we look back on the history of this place today, this truth is what we're going to see lived out. It has been lived out before us and continues to be lived out today. You know, as we drive on the property each Sunday morning, or if you're at school here as well, you drive on every day, we catch a glimpse of what God has done over the last 66 years for us here at Life Ministry Center. It's important that we never lose sight of the fact that many have gone before us and have lived obedient to God's call on their life, obedience and sacrifice, that today we might live in the blessing that we currently live. But we are not done. So at this point in time, I would like to, can you help me in welcoming Pastor Graham up to the platform, who's going to join me? And here is a microphone for you. Oh, Cass was going to do it, but that's okay. Are you going to use it? Great. I ain't going to argue. There you go. Good stuff. Pastor Graham, I have known Pastor Graham for 40 years. I am indeed 40 years old. And, you know, I was thinking about maybe a story that I could tell to give context to our... let me just move that, because you guys, it's in your way. The relationship that you and I, where it kind of began. And I remember my parents coming over to your place for life group one night, very early on. And I reckon I would have been 5 or 6 years old. And I was put on a trundle mattress in Pete and Alan, your two youngest boys' bedroom. They had a bunk system there, and I was on the ground. And we were just doing like we were just mucking around a little bit. We probably should have been sleeping, but we were mucking around. Do you know where this is going? Do you remember this story? And I remember I climbed up the stairs for some, like up the ladder for some reason, and Alan and Peter up the back there, and Al was on the top bunk. And I don't know what he was thinking, but he just sat and like with the entrance of the bunk there with his feet like this, and I just walked up the stairs and he just went poof, and I just went woo and landed on the ground, and you must have heard this thud and this crying and I'm so, and I just remember, like, I think I remember you coming in and him going out, and that was it. Like, I don't know. And some consoling from the mothers at that point in time, but many, many great times at your place. And
I got a better.
Yeah, it's on. You got that?
I got a better story.
Uh-oh.
I remember you when you were born, and you were in your pram, and you were only a couple of days old, and your mum walked you into our house. Chris, I want you to come and sit up here, sweetheart. Yes, I do.
She's thrilled.
She is. Come. I didn't tell her she was going to do this because it would have cost me a lot of money because she would have gone shopping for new dresses. And the reason I want Chris up here because, you know, it's not about us. We're a team. We're one in God. And everything that we've ever done together has always been serving God. And Chris is as much of this story as I am. But I remember you coming in and Mum showing you off to us. So that was at 331 Maroondah Highway in the manse that we lived in. So do you remember that, Andy?
No, I don't. Okay. No. I'm thankful for Chris that she's up here as well, because even those times at your place, she was very lovely and cooked very nice. So thank you. Thank you, Chris.
Keep going.
So Life Ministry Centre held its first meeting on the 9th of November 1958, just over 66 years ago. And over those 66 years, we know that there have been thousands of people that have come through the doors of our church for worship and have enjoyed building community with one another. And I think it's worth making this point right now that though there's about 900 of us as part of the Life Ministry Church family that call LMC their church home right now, only a few here have been around right from the very beginning. And in fact, only a few people were around at the very, very beginning. And most organizations, they start small and are very, very different from what they look like right now. And guys, I'm going to skip over all those photos there, those initial ones of the staff, and just get on with it. We have grown as an organization over many years, and there have been different iterations of this place, but with the same organization and the same mission, and we're going to talk about that later as well. But here's a couple of photos of the early years. So this timeline, from 1958, this is the Loyal Orange Lodge in Wattle Park, and there were about 50 people that attended the first meeting here. Pastor Leo Harris was who officiated, and Don Dawson was indeed the first pastor, with Hal Oxley being the first elder of Life Ministry Centre. This meeting here, this first meeting, had come out of a gathering of seven people in the Oxleys' home in those early years and had grown to this point here. From there, in 1960, we moved on to a building in Russell Street, Melbourne, YWCA. And in 1962, Pastor Hal was put on the pastoral team part-time. And this is where Ken and Sue Morrison, who are with us in church every single week, who happen to be on holidays at the moment, Ken and Sue, and John and Cheryl Pilliphant. Cheryl is sitting right over there right now, who is back in those days, who was a part of the church, one of the absolute originals. And this is a photo of them getting married. The first marriage, the first wedding of LMC was Ken and Sue Morrison in 1966. Sue, I spoke to her this week, and she said she remembers when the church had about 75 people in it, and it was that time she said, like, we did everything ourselves, like everything we just did as a church family, and you knew everyone, and she said it truly was family, wonderful times. In 1967, Pastor Hal made his way into full-time ministry at 51 years old, and there's a photo coming up on the screen of him. I mentioned at the start that there have been many people who have had an impact on this church and this organization over many years. but there have been none greater than this man on the screen, Pastor Hal Oxley, who is our founding pastor. And do you want to give any context to this right now before I introduce our next guest? All right. It is our joy to have Pastor Hal's wife, Jill, in church with us every single Sunday, sitting on the front row, or, yeah. Jill will either be sitting there on the front row or will be sitting with someone else in the church to sit alongside them. And it's our joy to hear from Jill this morning. Would you welcome Jill to the stage this morning?
I'm getting old.
You're great, you're great. You sit there right next to Chris. It would be wonderful. Thank you, Jill.
There are two things. One thing. About you saying brother and sister in the old days, it wasn't because we were family so much. We couldn't remember each other's names. It was approximately 1954 when Pastor Oxley came to know the Lord under the ministry of Pastor Leo Harris. He had served in World War II as a regular officer and was now CEO of a large corporate company. Due to certain circumstances, he left the church he had joined, and eight other people from the same church, you can tell this is not normal for me, from the same church later came to him asking if they could meet with him in his home for fellowship and study of the word. This took place until the numbers grew and the home became too small. I might add here that it was the time of dancing in the spirit and the walls began to crack. So they moved to the Loyal Orange Lodge Hall in Box Hill for their first service 66 years ago. For the next several years, Pastor Oxley continued in his role as CEO, as well as raising the assembly alongside a group of committed men and women, all now with the Lord, except for Cheryl and for Ken and Sue. For the next several years, Pastor Oxley continued in his role. I read that. Studying the word into the early morning was the norm, and then up early for work. Each week there were late nights spent with Pastor Kevin Connor, who gave him grounding in the word that was the foundation for the years of teaching that followed. Each Saturday, he took the youth group out until quite some time later, a youth pastor with his wife were appointed. In 1967, he sought the Lord in prayer and fasting to find God's will as to whether he should remain as a part-time pastor or go on full-time. It was made clear to him that whatever path he chose, God would bless him. He chose full time. I remember him saying, "I had found the truth. How could I not give my life to it?" He would then laugh and say, "The income I received from the assembly, which was not able to fully support him at that time, was pin money in my previous life, But God has never failed me, and I have never wanted up until this present time. From eight people meeting in a home, seven people you met in a home. I think you're right. It was seven. All that has evolved on this property and beyond, we thank God. For the days that lie ahead, I believe we will see the realization of our deepest desires for LMC. It becoming a place where the glory of God is manifest as we have never seen it. When we are brought to a place that was in God's mind and plan over 66 years ago. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jill. Really appreciate your time with us. Thank you. I'll let me help you down. You know, I consider that. Thank you. I consider that story and the humble beginnings. And I just said to Matt before the service, we witnessed over 200 young people on the Oval on Friday night, just worshiping God and hearing the words spoken. And just even to catch a glimpse of that moment, just in that space, so many who have gone before us would have just not even been able to fathom what God would do in the years to come and simply stepped forward in obedience. And we are so grateful to Pastor Hal, and we'll hear some more about him as we go, for all the times that have gone before. From there, as a church, we moved to Cotham Road in Kew. Now, the building is not there anymore. There's a photo of this one up here. And also in 1972 started a teaching and training Bible college, a live-in college, which Pastor Graham said to me, we called it boot camp back in those days because it was more like that. And then in 1973 moved to Oban Road in Ringwood. And Pastor Graham, I want to ask you about that time in Oban Road, because this was a pivotal point for us. And that's not Oban Road. No, yet it says Oban Road, but no. Oh, is that? Oh, it is it? Okay. Well, it was either that or it was, we thought 331, but no. Yeah, we thought it was 331. But anyway, I showed that photo because I thought what a brilliant thing for the celebration of the growth of a church to be in the paper in those years. And there was significant moments there on Oban Road and 331. But if you take that down, talking about Oban Road in 1973, because it was such a pivotal moment. Can you explain to us what happened at that time?
Yeah, Oban Road was a brilliant centre, and it was Pastor Hal's vision, and you've got to understand that Pastor Hal was an incredible visionary, not only for us as a church, but for our country, and was used throughout the world with other many incredible men of God. But he had a vision that he wanted to create a training centre, a training college, and he wanted to bring what would be seen as a campus together. And so he bought the land they built 331, or no, sorry, Oban Road, church with a big auditorium, Hall 2, and then the manse was put onto the property where Jill and Hal lived, and then at the back of the property was a Bible college, a live-in full-time Bible college, which I think started in 74, 75. The first couple of Bible colleges were down at Merrick's, and I was in the 75 year.
Okay. And so the church in Oban Road, what happened that we weren't there anymore?
Again, I was a part of being in the church. We didn't know too much about it at the time because I was in the Bible college, but unfortunately, pride got into the heart of a person, as it does. And we know that back, as we look at the Word of God, we see that pride fell in Satan's heart as well, didn't he? And this person, when Pastor Hal was away on one of his ministry tours, decided that he was going to do a coup and take over the church. And you've heard it from the platform before. Alan Meyer has talked about it numerous times. Through again, just what we've been founded on, the obedience of God's word. The elders at that time with Pastor Hal decided that they wouldn't take the other brother to court according to God's word. And even though the QC that we had at the time told us that we would have won and won hands down, decided that that wasn't going to happen. And so announced to the church one Sunday morning that this would be the last Sunday morning as a congregation, and that the elders and pastors at the time were moving, and we were moving to Nunawading High School Hall, and anyone who wanted to follow could. And I can't tell you accurately, I can only tell you what I've heard, but I think everyone bar about 10, would that be right, Jill, 10 families, about 10 families went with Pastor Hal and the elders, and we started worshipping at Nunawading High School Hall. We left everything, and I mean everything, money in the bank, everything. Oh no, I tell a lie. So we stole something. There was a flower stand, and a guy called Bob Molenberg, who was the caretaker at the time, was asked by Pastor Hal to make a pulpit so that we had a pulpit for our first meeting. And unbeknown to us, probably about 5 years later, we found out that he had cut this flower stand down and put a slab of wood on the top on an angle, and that was our pulpit. Pastor Hal took it back once we found out that we had stolen it, so that we could honestly say that we didn't take anything from the church.
Wow.
Can I say, a very godly and very gracious, and again laid the foundation for where we are today. Unfortunately, Oban Road had a prophecy over it that it'd be razed to the ground, and it was. It's now houses. Unfortunately, again, that church continues, but it continues to split and is very small. And we are here today living on this property, which is probably estimated in value with all the buildings, etc., at about $220 million. When you consider where we are and what God has done, and that's all because of Pastor Hal and the elders' obedience at that time.
Yeah, brilliant. I understand in going to Nunawading High School the next week and renting that space, that even God was working in another manner, in that that was a time where the consideration for a Christian school or the raising of a school found its conception. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's another great story. And I'm a beneficiary of so many of the stories because Pastor Hal and I spent so much time together. At Nunawading High School Hall, there was a bosun, a Old Navy bosun, who was the caretaker at the time, Pastor Hal, and he obviously got on extremely well together because of their military service. And one day this bosun came in to Hal and said that this was going to be his last week there, and Pastor Hal, in inquiring of him, and sometimes I'll get the stories wrong, Jill, don't worry, I'll just embellish them so that they're my stories. Told Pastor Hal that he was leaving the school and work because he couldn't stand just the rebellion of the kids. There was sex taking place in the toilets, and this is back in 77, 76. Somewhere there. It's a long time ago. And I remember Pastor Hal sharing the story that at that stage he thought, man, if this tough bosun was not able to cope with what was happening, pity help our poor kids. And he was worried for the children of the assembly at the time. And so in that situation and that thought, the desire to build a Christian school to be a safe place for our children, I was born, and it was really being raised not for the world, not for people outside of our church, but just to provide a safe place where families at that time could place their kids and know that they were going to be trained and equipped in a godly way.
Wonderful, thanks. Understanding that we are only really touching the mountaintops today of the whole story. In 1978, then the church moved to a new building in 331 and built that building, 331 Maroondah Highway. And as I understand, that was a time of many, many guest speakers from around the world visiting us, like high quality guest ministers from around the world. And even when we talk about obedience, we talk about sacrifice, I understand from you that the building of that building was really on a step-by-step basis as money came for carpet or came for walls or for bricks and that type of thing. That's correct?
Yeah, we, again, as I said, we left Oban Road with nothing. And so the buying of 331 Maroondah Highway, which is now Tobin Brothers, so it went from Life Ministry Centre to Death Ministry Centre, it was a sacrifice. And so money was raised and donated by people to buy the property. And then it was decided by, again, Pastor Hal and the elders that we wouldn't do anything without having the money. And so every couple of weeks there would be we need bricks, or we need carpet, or we need this, or we need that. And money was donated. And as the money came in, we continued to build it. And again, it was a beautiful building, and it was something that was very special because it was built by people who had given to a vision, which was fantastic.
What's wonderful as I look through those photos is seeing someone like David Odd up there leading the worship or doing some singing up there. There's photos of the Bible College, which I see Matt's dad, Charlie Vincent, in there, and Rod and Gail Wilson are in those photos sitting up here as well. And just wonderful to see so many that have been a part of our history still around and part of the church today. So then comes the era of this place here, the Churnside Park, and purchasing the property in 1979 of the land that we're on here, which is 70 acres for the bargain basement price of $177,000, I think it was, back at that time, which is just a wonderful thing. And even that story is a miracle in and of itself. But what we want to make the focus of right now is in 1979, Joyce Simpson, who's sitting on the front row with us and who brought that tongue this morning as well, and such a faithful lady, has been for so, so many years to us as a church. And she was appointed the first teacher of Oxley Christian College back in December of 1978, before the school started here, which was originally called Life Christian Academy. And I'm going to ask Joyce to come and share, if you would like to come up, Joyce, as well. Welcome, Joyce, as she comes. You're good. And I've asked Joyce to just give us a brief glimpse of what it looked like from her perspective of coming in to the school at that period of time. Thank you, Joyce.
I need to say there were many people involved in establishing Oxley College as it is now, but then it was Life Christian Academy. And it's just a testimony to the faithfulness of God, but there were many people. So it's only my cameo and the way God led me to work in the school. I can't tell you that it was a joy when I first realised what God was saying, but I need to give you a bit of background so you understand that God takes people and he takes their heart and he changes them and he moulds them. So this is my story. In early 1978, we were living in partially converted horse stables on 7.5 acres in Diamond Creek, and this was Bill's dream. And it was an idyllic environment for our three children. But our lifestyle was evolving to be quite chaotic. Bill was travelling from Diamond Creek to Essendon for work and to Greensboro on many nights for church business meetings. Our two girls were travelling on a bus from Templestowe to Canterbury to an established school that we knew was providing them with a firm educational base and a very rich curriculum. Our son was being transported from Eltham to Doncaster for his schooling. I was teaching full-time in Yan Yean in a position that just fell into my lap. And we also found ourselves leaving our local church and regularly attending LMC where we were deeply challenged in our established relationship with God and our now very chaotic lifestyle, all going in different directions. I look back now and I just think, what were we thinking? The church assembly were beginning to pray more and more about the possibility of establishing a school for the children of the assembly people because of concerns for the direction of education in the state system. Faithful, godly and energetic pastors and elders, who in reality they had no idea of how this would be achieved, and they were leading the drive. From my perspective, I couldn't perceive them being able to carry through the vision that was now gaining very much momentum. But of course, it was God, wasn't it? I just got written down here, but God, and I can tell you, some of the ideas that were floating around, they just made my hair turn grey very quickly. At this time, I was asked to undertake in Sydney during the school holidays training for a program that could be implemented in the proposed school. I was not in any way committed to using this training, but with the support of Bill, I undertook the training. Momentum was building up and our involvement with LMC was becoming more intense. One day, Bill confronted me with the fact that we needed to surrender our Diamond Creek haven and move to Ringwood. Wow, I can tell you that was a momentous weekend. The school, with rented land from the state government, just 5 acres over at Warrenwood, was to have 2 portable classrooms, and the school would commence February 1979 with a very limited educational program. Bill absolutely insisted that our kids would be part of this venture, and I was not impressed. Around this time, I was offered entrance at Melbourne Uni to undertake further teacher training, a position that wasn't fully wasn't advertised, let's say, but I could enter that program if I wanted to. Then I received a permanent position at a new multi-million school with all mod cons, 5 minutes down the road from this 5 acres that LMC was going to use for their school. Wow. Well, I heard about the school for LMC, 2 portable classrooms, no mod cons, no staff room, no phone, no office, no school secretary, and I was strongly advised by well-meaning Christian friends to take the position at the new multi-million dollar school. After all, God had opened the door. By God's grace, I had an understanding that I needed to take a faith step and trust God, work in the assembly school. All ties were cut with the government system. Then it really got tough. Things went from bad to worst. I ended up in hospital for a major operation. Our Diamond Creek property didn't even go on the market. It was sold in a 3-week turnaround. Then we couldn't find anywhere to rent, not in Ringwood, not in Croydon, nowhere. On the Wednesday before our Saturday move, we were offered a rental home in Chirnside Park. Well, that was something. There was to be buildings on the site of the school, but they weren't going to be on the site until March the 1st. Oh, and by the way, the appointed head of the Life Christian Academy had already resigned. Wow. I look back now and I just think, but God. The day before school was to commence, I came down to the school to do some preparation, and my classroom was just one big empty room. There was a large piece of outdoor play equipment that had been donated and it was erected, but there was not another thing. Water wasn't connected yet, but next morning when school commenced, miraculously, some hard-working men overnight had constructed individual student cubicles for implementing the new individual learning program for my 25 students. And then a lady who I didn't really know very well turned up to give me another pair of hands, and for the next 11 years, that's what she did. I began to experience the faithfulness and the goodness of God. I felt very inadequate and lacking in ability, but I learnt very quickly that if I did the best I could, if I worked hard and trusted God's leading, he would make up for what I lacked. 20 years later, I was still marvelling at the miracle of Oxley College, and when I consider all that went on in that rocky start of those first 2 years, the people that were in place that were trying to give an educational system, I can only say that God's plans will never be thwarted, and I just praise his name.
Thank you very much, Joyce. Very much appreciate it. And you know, people like Joyce's legacy remains in the school. It's very easy for us to go up there and say, hey, there's no more two buildings and there's a lot more than that, but the fingerprints of people like Joyce in the school will be forever known. Just for time's sake, I'm going to just move through a couple of things quickly. 1982, Life Christian Academy was built here. David Odd and his sons helped move the place, move everything onto the property at that point in time. And 1986 was when this church building here that we sit in today was built. Life Christian Academy, the year later, became Oxley College. And then in 1989, Pastor Howell retired as senior pastor, and Pastor Delton Gordon was appointed the senior pastor. And then a few years later, Pastor Ian Richardson was appointed as senior pastor. And then in 1998, Pastor Graham Nelson was appointed as the senior pastor. And after that point in 98, we've seen the advancement of Oxley Christian College and the building of Oxley Stadium and Oxley Kids, other divisions, and the growth of the church through that time. And I just want to ask you a couple of things, Pastor Graham, as you reflect on those times. What other highlights are there for you as you know the history of LMC when it comes to the sacrifice and the obedience of those who have gone before us?
I think, again, for time, Andy, I think things that strike me is just the incredible obedience step of so many people, and I want to honour, and I do this without being political, I want to honour our past elders for just their obedience in everything they've done, because again, it's the mission and the vision of Pastor Hal and the elders right back there at the start that we continue to honour and continue to be outworking in our lives. So I do want to honour past elders, and I want to honour the present elders for their stand today, because God is God and this is his place.
Yeah.
And we do glorify him and thank him for what he's done. The other thing that stands out to me is the generations of this place. And I can look around here. You mentioned the Wilsons, you mentioned Matt. There's so many people in here who are part of the generations of this place. Your parents might not be here now, you're here, your children might be here, your grandchildren might be here. And when you look at an organisation like ours, you've just got to acknowledge the fact that thousands upon thousands upon thousands of lives have been impacted over the years because of this place and because of the obedience of so many people. And you know, we don't know them all. We won't see them. They've moved on. I think of, you know, international students that come into the school that have gone back to their own countries that have been impacted through this place, that got saved, that probably started works in their own countries. We don't know them. We think of the Bible College students that have come and gone, that have founded and raised churches, etc. We know they've done it, but we don't know the fruit of it. We just don't understand. And so I just think of the generations. And one story, and I know it's time. I came in this morning, as I always do early, and Pastor Andy was here, and my kids were here, but their kids were here. And I had a great sense of incredible blessing as I looked upon what we've gotten at the back there on the cameras. Well, playing around would be a nice way to say it, but Olive and Roman were there, Pete and Em's kids were there, Al's kids were there, and I just thought of the generations and the principle of what's being sown in this place. You know, by example of Andy's mum and dad, Deb and Richard, Andy is here. And by his example and Cass's example, their children are here. When I look at Chris and I and I think of the blessing that we have of having all our children worshipping here and then seeing our grandchildren all worshipping here, that's an incredible blessing. That's a rich place this is. When I think of Dave coming on in 1982 and helping me move the school in 8 weeks from Warrenwood to this property, and seeing his boys working when they did that, the example of Dave and Beryl being impacting their kids that are now impacting their kids and their kids, their great-grandchildren. You know, I want you to understand just what an incredibly rich organisation this is. You know, I could go on and on and on about people. I think of Jim and Sue Culberson and the impact, and I think of Andy up the back playing his instrument today and his children being here. You know, it is just goes on and on and on. Kim Soper, Graham and Robin Madeley. Kim is now our director down at Oxy Kids. It just, Marita and Joyce and Bill, you know, it just doesn't stop. And that, I think, is the big richness for me about this place. And if I was to say what would I like to see for the future, I would like to see and know that future elders understand the mission and the vision of this place, and that this place would continue to be a generational church that is sowing stable, solid Christian values, no woke ideas, true biblical values. I think that would be the greatest and the richest testimony that we could have as a place.
You know, there's a truth in the fact that the majority of us here haven't been around for that long, and we are newer to the church. But whether we have history in the place already or not, we have the opportunity to be able to continue to create history for the generations that come underneath us and our service of those who come here, our young people as well. So just before we close, Pastor Graham and Chris, what year did you come to the church?
I came in 74 and Chris came in 73. I would like to say I came because of God, but I came chasing a woman.
And you got her. And so being around that long, like, what keeps you going at this point in with regard to your incredible investment into the place?
I remember when I made Jesus Christ Lord, it was at Mill Valley Ranch in 1974, March, and I was in a building and I looked and I saw in people's faces they had something I didn't have. They had life, I was dead. And I remember saying to God, God, whatever it is that I need to do to get what they've got, I'll do. And I made Jesus Lord of my life. And one of the vows I made, and I know you shouldn't make a vow, but I did. I made a vow to God that whatever he asked me to do, I'd do. And so coming here, coming to Bible College in 75 was the first obedience step in that vow. Then coming on full-time in 1982 was the second obedience step that Chris and I made. And again, that wasn't a sacrifice. It was an obedience step. And then faithfully and as a privilege, serving under Pastor Hal has been such a rich thing for me. Sorry. And so my passion is to be a custodian of his vision and the vision that God gave him, and to make certain that this place is handed over to whoever God has got in store, and that that vision continues. And so that's the passion I have. That's what keeps me going.
Wonderful. If we look at that aerial shot, guys, can we have that last one? So this is the property of LMC from the top down. And the first one for us, and then the second. Yep, so that's it there with the boundaries. And then that next photo that we have, which highlights just the area down the back of the property that is undeveloped. And there's about 30 acres down there. And though, you know, the future of this place is not tied to simply buildings and land, it is the people that God is impacting. Yet we live, and you know, I say on behalf of the eldership here, We live looking at that piece of land with open hands to what God wants to do. It's not about what we want, it's about what He wants to do. And as with the growth of this place over all of the years, it has simply been a question of God, what do you want to do next? And let us continue to simply walk in obedience to that. And that's the attitude that we continue to maintain. In closing, Psalm 51 says this in verse 16 and 17, "For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, a God you will not despise." And I think that as we maintain that attitude as a church, like it really, it's not just down to the leadership. It is every single one of us as the body of Christ, bringing our gifts and being of benefit to one another and being a blessing to our community, that God will continue to bless us as a church as we put Him. And I said this to Pastor Graham beforehand, you know, we are about people. It really is about people. And yet people aren't above God, because God is the one that we worship. We do not worship people. And so we continue to look to Him, and I would encourage you to continue to do the same as we continue on this journey together. Before we go, I want to pray, but before I do that, maybe Pastor Graham, I'll ask you to pray for us as a church and for us as a congregation and as a property. But before we do that, I want to honour Pastor Graham and Chris. Pastor Graham and Chris Nelson, who have been around since the early 70s, and have been faithful servants of this place. And I say servants, they've served in their leadership, they have served us with many more things than we can comprehend that they have done. We see a snapshot, but that snapshot is still significant. And we just want to say we are so grateful and thankful for your leadership, for your obedience to God, for showing us not what it looks like to build an organization, but for showing us what it looks like to follow God wholeheartedly. And we are so indebted to you and grateful. Church, can we thank Pastor Graham and Chris Nelson?
Let's pray, hey? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. And Lord God, we truly do want to acknowledge you as owner of all. Yes. We want to acknowledge you as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And Father, I think of the communion that we had today, and I just again just thank you for not only the sacrifice of Jesus, but His obedience step. And Lord, I think of the obedience of so many in just following you and following those that have led us. And Lord God, we give honor and thanks and praise for all the people that you have used in this place. And Lord God, we have so many stories. We could chew the fat for a long time, Lord God, and not even touch the surface. But we want to give you praise. We want to give you thanks. And Lord, more than anything, we want to pray that the seeds that we're sowing today would bring forth fruit that would glorify your name. And that, Lord God, that Life Ministry Center would be truly just that, Life Ministry Center, that we would minister your life throughout all of the divisions, throughout all of the things that we do across this property, and that we would see people come to know you. Father, I pray for Pastor Andy, I pray for Pastor Matt, I pray for all of the up-and-coming, Lord God, generations that you're going to use in the future, and we just pray that you would continue to let them realize, Lord God, not only the legacy, but the privilege they have of serving you. And so we just give you thanks. And again, we say that you are Lord. We say this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can we thank Pastor Graham, Chris, Jill, and Joyce as well? Thank you so much, guys.
Morning, church. My name is Peter Owen, and I'm part of the Embrace team here at LMC. I want to share from John's Gospel, chapter 1. The Apostle John wrote his Gospel with the detail of an eyewitness. His book was not a biography like Luke. It was a thematic theology presenting Jesus' life to the reader. The people in John's audience had a Greek background, and the Greek culture encouraged the worship of many gods whose supernatural characteristics were as important to the Greeks as the genealogies were to the Jews. John shows that Jesus is not only different from, but is also superior to those gods of mythology. That is why we are called to worship the one and only Son of God. John writes in verse 1, "In the beginning the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." What Jesus taught and did are tied in separately to his identity. Although Jesus took upon himself full humanity and lived as a man, he never ceased to be our eternal God, who always existed, the creator, the sustainer of all things, and the source of life and eternal life. This is true about Jesus, and it's the foundation of all truth. If we cannot or will not believe this basic truth, we will not have enough faith to trust our eternal destiny to him. That's why John wrote his gospel, to build our faith and confidence in Jesus Christ, so that we may believe that he truly was the Son of God. In verses 2 and 3, it says, "He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him." When God created, he made something from nothing. And because he created you and I from nothing, we have no basis for pride or self-righteousness. Remember that we exist only because God made each one of us with the ability to do certain things well, which we can use in the church. With God, we are something valuable, unique. Apart from God, we are nothing. If we try to live without him, we will be abandoning the purpose for which we were made. That is, to worship him out of love, gratitude for his sacrifice for our sin. Verse 4 said, "And the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone." How does Jesus' life bring light to everybody? How? Because physical death brings eternal darkness, and only Jesus' eternal life, his light planted inside of us, will keep us in his kingdom for all eternity. Jesus is eternally alive because he's God. He came to earth to offer mankind hope and light of his eternal life. It can't be purchased, only received as a gift. But Jesus gives it only to those who want it, those who repent and want to live the way God's citizens will live in his eternal kingdom. Verse 5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." This means that the darkness of evil never has and never will overcome God's light. Jesus Christ is the creator of life, and his life brings light to mankind, to you and I, verse 9. In his light, we see ourselves as we really are, sinners in need of a savior. And when we follow Jesus, the true light, we can avoid walking blindly through the spiritual darkness that sin brings. Jesus lights the path ahead of us, illuminating the truth and clarifying our thoughts so we can see how to live. He removes the darkness and the penalty of sin from our lives. In verse 14, he says, "So the Word became human and made his home amongst us and was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." Now, John wrote about a mate, a human being. He knew and loved, but who at the same time was the creator of the universe, the life and light of the creation, and the ultimate revelation of God. He was a living picture of God's holiness, the one who holds all creation together. That is why we live to remember, to worship, to give thanks to the one and only Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord. As we receive the elements now, let's reflect on the Lord of all creation, the Logos, who gave his life and light so that we might have eternal life. Loving Father, as we remember and exalt the name of Jesus this morning, we are so grateful for your grace, your mercy, and your love. We surrender our lives in faith and obedience to your plan and purpose for each one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. And the church said, Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.